I want to welcome you to Upcoming Discs. We're talking to Lucas Kendall, and you're one of the co-writers of Lucky Bastards, right?
That's right.
Okay, well, we did get a chance to review that movie online and also got to read some things that you had written about the film. And so we thought this would be a great chance for you to talk to our audience and give them an idea of some of the things you were trying to do and some of the things about Lucky Bastards. Give them like an inside look to your thought processes here.
Well, I appreciate that. There is an essay that I wrote that I sent you that
yes.
I haven't published yet because we're looking for the right place for it. But to summarize it for your listeners,
yes,
we made a movie that was deliberately provocative. It's about a porn shoot gone bad.
Mm-hmm.
Where it's based on one of those like reality porn sites where they have an average Joe have sex with a porn star, but they get the wrong guy.
Right.
And he can't perform, and he's humiliated, and they kind of make fun of him and send him home, but he's so distraught he comes back and kills them all, which we thought was a good setup for a found footage film, which we typically don't like.
Right.
Because it at least solves the problem of why are they filming this. So we really looked at it as a way to comment on our culture, our obsessions with pornography, with sex,
uh-huh.
with reality entertainment.
Yeah.
And one of the little tricks we wanted to play on the audience that I think we might have pulled off too well, that the movie looks like it's a takedown of porn, but it's really not. And it's actually supposed to be a takedown of reality entertainment.
Yeah, you know, and I saw that. I have to agree that I saw that because you've got this humiliating factor. And I'm not really into reality TV. I don't understand why people want to watch other people like screw up and be humiliated. But that's we seem as a culture to love doing that.
Yeah, it is a sickness in the culture, and we put in our movie starts with a scroll that seems to be suggesting that the pornographers brought it on themselves. And that was us being cheeky. I mean, we wanted people to think that, oh gosh, it's these moralizing people who think porn is immoral, which is not our opinion at all.
Right.
You know, I think there's a lot of porn that's in very bad taste, but it's a, you know, it's a human thing. Adult human sexuality
right.
is a part of life and
sure.
shouldn't be stigmatized because I think that creates far more problems.
Mm. So yeah, I don't think I didn't get that from your movie that you were down on
no,
the porn industry.
You're brighter than the reviewer for Variety.
Well, I got to tell you, I do feel like these guys, in some ways, brought it on themselves only in the fact that you know they're out to not because they're pornographers, but because they're out to humiliate this guy and you know and they push this guy who they have no way of knowing, of course, is not completely right in the head. So, you know, if they brought it on themselves, it had nothing to do with their industry. They brought it on themselves because, you know, especially the producer guy, the slick guy, you know, he's playing them.
Well, it's meant to be, our entire culture is so callous now. We're so, and partly because of economics, we're all so squeezed. We're all just rubbing nickels together trying to make a living.
Yeah.
That it's so easy when there's someone in distress, just to not to acknowledge that person's humanity.
Right.
And we really wanted to confuse the audience in that we really tried to make our characters very human.
Well, you did.
Even though they're working in the sex industry, that's why there are a lot of references to the fact that they have wives.
Right.
And families and children. And people really couldn't, some people really got that. And a lot of people didn't, and the people who didn't were some of them were quite hostile towards the movie.
Really,
and part of also what happened is that we really had no idea how much trouble our rating would be for distribution.
Well, yeah, that's you know that's a double-edged sword when you do something NC-17 because
I
it gives you freedom.
It's fairly single-edged.
Well, but it gives you freedom.
The edge was pointing towards us.
Well, but the other edge, I think, is it gives you a certain amount of freedom because you're not, you know, you're not trying to compromise and deal with somebody on your creative level. You can do almost what you want to do. So I think there's where you get the edge a little bit in your favor. But yeah, as far as distribution and the way people are going to look at it, you're absolutely correct that it's, you know, people just stay away from it because they assume that an NC-17 film is just a porno film.
Yeah, it is. very frustrating. I'll tell you the honest truth.
Yeah.
Which was that there was a lot of pressure not to carry the rating, or after we did get it rated, to reject the rating, which you're allowed to do.
Right.
And in the end, it was really a moral choice on my part and my colleague's part that we don't think the film's appropriate for kids. And
right.
We're not comfortable with it being unrated because we didn't want kids to come across it and parents to find that their kids had come across it with no warning. We thought that would have been
sure. And that's the responsible thing to do. I mean, let's be honest.
Yeah, well, thank you. We thought so. But it really hurt. And because what happened is that no film festival would touch it. And because we didn't have any film festivals, we really had no entree into the indie film community.
Right.
So we didn't have a chance to get people on our team, a chance for people early on to say, oh, how interesting, oh, we get it, it looks worse than it is, it's really not about what it looks like.
Right.
About. And instead, we were just kind of dropped in everyone's lap so that when we did get released theatrically in New York,
right,
and the Village Voice said, oh, this is cool, and the New York Times said this is repulsive, nobody, they really didn't have any way to figure out who we were. They just had to, it was a rare case where they actually had to look at the movie without anyone telling them whether or not it was any good, and they had to, like, pick one.
Sure.
And some people picked that it was cool because we think it is, and some people picked that it was disgusting because they maybe legitimately hated it.
Right.
But it was a very interesting social experiment in that regard.
Well, and I don't know if you've read our review or not, but...
Well, I've read all the reviews obsessively.
Yeah. And in ours, I think that the point that I tried to get across was that even though this is certainly a provocative film, I don't think it's provocative in the nature that, quite honestly, I don't think you went overboard in the sex or the gore. I've seen much worse in tons of films, you know, that I've had a chance to review over the years, for better or worse. But I think that what you did was you created kind of something I was surprised hadn't come earlier. I was shocked, and I said so in my review, I was shocked that someone hadn't thought earlier to combine the whole porn industry thing that's going on with the found footage, you know, the reality show concept. It's, you know, it just seemed like this is such a natural film to make, and what you did was, I think you created this, you know, followed this natural progression. What we see here happening, I think, is a very realistic natural progression of both industries coming together.
Well, I appreciate your nice words. It was I hope this doesn't happen in real life.
Well, no, I don't mean about the guy. I don't mean the violence at the end.
But
I'm talking
one
about
of the things that happened with the tragedy in Isla Vista.
Right.
Is that I saw that kid's manifesto and I thought, oh my God, this is like the character from our movie. And I actually made a video, and then I'm not showing it to anyone because it's so disturbing. I cut that kid's manifesto with R. Killer.
Oh, jeez.
And they actually say the same things. It is creepy. It was so creepy that I looked at it and I showed my partner, and we're like, oh my God, this is really kind of beyond the pale. We obviously can't use this to market the movie.
Right.
But it was freaky because the mindset of that young man who felt entitled to sex and eventually went on this awful rampage.
Right.
It was different from our movie in that our movie, I don't want to get into all the differences.
Sure.
Else, but there were things of that mindset, that longing for connection, that longing for sex.
Certainly.
And then the how twisted it gets in those pickup groups.
Mm-hmm.
Sort of a subculture that we could digress onto. But
right.
Just so many disturbing things about the wrong ways in which adult sexuality can be twisted.
Yeah. Well, you're absolutely right, but the thing I get again, you know, with your killer, I get the impression that, yeah, okay, he's a killer guy, he has that within him, but I kind of get the impression that, you know, him being exposed for his, you know, situation, I think that put him over the edge. I don't know that this is a guy who would have gone out there and you know, you know, written a manifesto and gone on a killing spree. I think that you put him in a situation where we got to see kind of the de-evolution of his control.
Well, that, yeah, that is accurate to our intention.
Yeah. And he does a good job. He almost is like a, your actor there does a good job, because he's kind of like deadpan in the beginning. You know, he almost expresses very little emotion in the beginning. He seems almost to be emotionally void. And maybe I got the impression that this is where he, you know, he was kind of hoping this would fill him up in some way. And, you know, of course, he's terribly disappointed and, you know, kind of feels like he's got nowhere else to go, that maybe he does these killing sprees to feel something.
Well, I, that is accurate, and that's accurate to our intentions and the discussions we had with the actor, who is really a gifted actor named Jay Paulson.
Yes, Jay Paulson.
They remember him from Mad Men, where he played Don Draper's younger brother.
Yes.
And he, it, obviously in real life, he's completely not that character.
Yeah, of course.
He has a great intellectual quality to him and a great ability to be somewhat inscrutable.
Right, and that's exactly right.
Yeah, and a kind of opaque in a compelling way, a way that really holds the screen, which was also so powerful in Mad Men.
Yeah.
He's just longing to connect to Don Draper, to his brother.
Right.
And, we loved working with him. He, you know, he was very proud of the movie. All the actors, we had such a good time with the cast and such a good time making the movie, and they've been so supportive and into the movie because it was such a chance to stretch and something interesting and,
right,
and dangerous and creative. So we love to talk about them any chance we get.
Yeah. Well, let me ask you a question. It's apparent you did some kind of research here before you did this film. What kind of research did you do before writing this?
Oh, come on, Gino. I'm an adult.
No, I don't mean the stuff that you see. I'm talking about, it seems like you did some research behind the scenes. You get what I'm saying?
You know, I think anyone knows this, that if you go to like xvideos.com, you just search for backstage, you know, you could get 400 hours of, they call it BTS, behind the scenes.
But you know what? That's not, you know, those people are still performing. What I'm talking about is that your people, you know, your porn actor stuff, they don't, you show them in moments where they don't feel like they're performing. You do give that, I mean, she strikes you as just, you know, when the camera's off, a totally different demeanor. I mean, she's, you know, she's got her own problems, she's got her own issues, she's not sexy at all when, you know, she's not basically being paid to. So that's the part I guess I'm getting at
the
life.
That was, you know, that was really just, I guess, our imagination as writers. And then, as you said, the NC-17 is liberating because we had no boss.
Right.
I mean, we were the studio. So
sure.
We're just so proud of the convergence of the writing and the direction and the casting, and the performances, where everyone was on the same page, and we really worked hard together to create that humanity. Betsy Rue, who plays Ashley, is just fantastic and utterly fearless. And
like I said, I think the big quality there, again, is that she does a good job of portraying the on-camera, you know, star, and then the off-camera woman. I mean, she really, you see the differences. You did a good job, whether it's her acting, a little bit of your partner's directing, but I see the two characters there, and it's very clear to me.
Well, thank you. I mean, I appreciate that, and I'm sure Betsy appreciates that, and Robert. It's hard to say sometimes where it's the writing or the direction or the acting,
right,
because it's all collaborative.
Exactly.
And especially on the set, I remember there's some of the things she improvised, the actress.
Uh-huh.
Like, Josh, get yourself together. I mean, she just couldn't make that up because it was organic moment, as they would say. So, it was always the intention of the character that she's somewhat reluctant, a little bit of a diva, you know, a little bit tired of this, but also truly just cares about her kids. And then it's about the subtleties. It's about on the set trying to make sure that everyone's on the same page.
Right.
I remember when early in the movie, when the producer's trying to recruit her into doing Lucky Bastard, and she says, "Which one's that?" I remember on the set, directors saying, no, no, you really don't know when you're asking him which one is that because you don't know and you don't care.
Right.
Okay, got it, you know. And so I remember her audition, and we were on the floor laughing.
Now, did any of your actors express any concerns that apparently you're getting now from outside? Did anyone express any concerns when you approached them with the project? Did anybody go like, well, I don't know?
Well, there were a whole bunch of actors who just said, you know, like no.
Right.
Their agents or managers said, no, she won't do nudity, or no, it's not for him.
Right.
But the people, by the time we were meeting the people who auditioned, we were very clear about the parts that required nudity, and we were very clear why, and it was
right.
Something that we all agreed was essential for the verisimilitude.
Sure.
So by the time it was the people who we had cast, I mean, it was everyone agreed that you can't do this half-hearted,
right,
with absolute commitment. And these guys, I mean, it's great for them to make a living as the second suspect on CSI, but it's only so interesting creatively.
Right.
And to be able to work at the fast pace we had to work 10 days,
sure.
We had a 10-day shoot.
Right.
And to have all this filthy potty talk and really to have it be a movie that is created out of thin air. It's
right.
All about performance.
Sure.
It's all about the cinematography. I mean, there were no tricks. It was bare bones. You're in a house, and it's just acting.
Right.
So it was a great treat, and I think that, and they worked hard, you know, at the minimum SAG payment. And,
sure.
And we really hope people discover the movie and discover their performances, because they really deserve recognition and more work.
Right. Oh, yeah, absolutely. But I guess I have to ask you, from your point of view, making the decision you made to go ahead and take the NC-17 rating as opposed to go the unrated, or not making whatever the compromises might have been for our rating. Do you have any regrets after what's happened?
No, I wish I had known certain things, and I could have gotten the movie distributed more efficiently, on a quicker schedule.
Yeah.
But no regrets at all, because money comes and goes, but the work is what lasts.
Right.
Your integrity is what you can't get back. You get back money, you can't get back your integrity.
Sure.
We have looked at other movies set in the adult film industry.
Yeah.
Boogie Nights is a classic. It's quite different from our movie. But
oh, yeah.
And incidentally, we have the same casting director.
Oh, really?
Surely as a coincidence.
A coincidence, yeah.
And, but a lot of them that I won't name, we just thought were phony, and we thought they were lame.
Mm-hmm.
And we thought they were lame because they had to get an R rating contractually.
Right.
And so they cut out all the things that made you think it was real.
Yeah.
And they were so precious about it that it became phony and fake. So we would rather reach the people who thought this was cool than try to reach everybody and end up pleasing no one.
Yeah. Well, I have to say, it's obvious, I don't think, from looking at it, that you set out to make an exploitational film, because quite honestly, I've seen far worse. I mean, I know that one of the ones you mentioned in your essay, and that I've had people mention to me, is the rape scene, but quite honestly, the question I ask those people is, have you seen Straw Dogs?
I love Straw Dogs.
Exactly.
And that's, in fact, one of the only things that I actually had in the back of my mind when I was writing it.
Mm-hmm.
That I remember in Straw Dogs, there's that scene when Dustin Hoffman goes to some English bar, and
right.
Towns are giving them a hard time, and there's such tension. And I was watching and thinking, why is this so tense? There's nothing happening. They're just chatting, but you know they don't like each other. You know it's all under the surface. And talk about like one of the greatest directors of all time. So, Straw Dogs is a masterpiece.
Well, it is, and I'm saying, if people are offended, I mean, I don't think this rape scene comes anywhere close to the graphic nature of Straw Dogs, or, you know, the original I Spit on Your Grave. I mean, we're talking movies that have famously...
What we really wanted to do is by staging... I can't go into the details because I'll spoil it, but...
Right.
By sort of making fun of the idea that there would be a rape scene.
Right.
It's one of the forbidden things in our culture, and
sure.
For good reason.
Well,
I mean,
absolutely.
Nothing funny at all about
No,
rape.
It's not.
And yet, if you Google forced sex, or I mean,
right.
you can watch a billion hours of these bondage porn scenes that are not a turn on to me. I find them repulsive, but someone's making it, and and they're not actually forcing those women to have sex. It's all performance. So
yeah,
there is a darkness that we wanted to bring to light and do it in such an unflinching way that you know, you were really kind of spellbound. And mm-hmm. then the thing that we did that strangely alienated some of what might be our core audience.
Right.
We overdo the sex and we underplay the violence. So the violence in the film is not very bloody.
No.
It all has to be CG for budgetary reasons.
Sure.
And it's meant to be at the edge of the frame. You don't quite see it.
Mm-hmm.
So some of the people who are just into horror gore,
right,
kind of like, you know, this is lame. Where's the gore?
Mm-hmm.
And it was a little, they were confused, because why would you have an NC-17 movie and then not have every head exploding that you possibly could? And we wanted to pull back on the violence, that people
sure.
were a little more considering why people make violent films in the first place.
Yeah, and you know, that's the other thing. You talk about the limitations of an NC-17 rating. I think the film might have been more limited by the fact that it's hard to pigeonhole this as a genre. It's too tame to be really a horror movie. It's too tame to be a porno movie. It's, you know, I think that may have been one of the harder things as far as marketing is that, you know, how do you market this? I mean, if you had to put some kind of a title on here, which I realize as a creator you don't want to do, but as a marketer you kind of have to figure out a way to do so, what kind of title would you put on this kind of film?
Well, we did, in fact, have to do that, and I think what we ended up doing is just pitching it to all the horror media regardless and let them
right.
sort out whether they liked it or not.
But I mean, there again, like I said, part of, you know, some of the people maybe didn't like it. There again, if you're going into it thinking it's going to be a horror movie, like you said, the horror aspect of it is psychological. I mean, yeah, there's a horror aspect of this guy being twisted enough to do the things that he did. But for today's audiences, we all know that's not enough. They want to see the carnage.
Well, it was really beyond our ability to do that.
Right.
It was, we just sort of figured, the chips would fall where they may.
But would you have?
Sort of what happened.
But would you have? It's beyond your ability. But would you have? I mean, if you had unlimited resources, would you have made it a little harder edge with the violence?
You know, I don't think so. I think that this was really what we intended. Our DP said that if we had twice as much money, we would have made the exact same movie, only with better food.
Okay.
And I think he's right. I mean, there might have been some instances where we would have done more takes and maybe we could have refined a few things technically, but
right.
it wasn't about that.
But you wouldn't have made it bloodier.
I don't think it would be better served by having actual physical blood
right.
in some of those scenes. I don't know what to say. I mean, some people say, why didn't you make this, you know, more sexy? I was like, what? You know, how could it be?
Yeah.
I mean, we went up to the line where they would actually be having sex.
Right.
We weren't about to ask our performers to actually have
right.
intercourse for a movie. I mean, that it really is pornography.
Right. Well, it's interesting that you mentioned that, because, of course, we also just recently reviewed in the big controversy over Nymphomaniac, the type of thing where what he did was he took his Main Street actors, but he hired porn actors to actually come in and do the, you know, body doubling basically for the sex acts and stuff. So I think you took the better path.
Well, I still haven't seen those movies. I think he's I like his films. I like
yeah.
him as a director. I don't know if any path is better than another.
Right.
I do. There's a quip on the tip of my tongue that's now escaped me, but.
Yeah.
You know, I think our movie would have been much more profitable had it been in French.
You think so?
I think if it was a foreign film, I think there would have been a lot of American critics who would have seen it
right.
as somehow upscale.
Sure.
Whereas the fact that we actually shot it in Van Nuys at actual porn houses. By the way, I found real porn, like, shot on the very same...
Oh, did you? That's interesting. You did mention that, I think, in your essay. Now that I'm thinking about it, you
well,
did
it
say
was,
the house
it was
used.
Yeah, I mean, there are a lot of houses in the valley that's all they do. I mean, these people have oversized houses, and to
sure.
pay the rent, they rent them out for movies, and a lot
right.
of movies are porn shoots.
Sure.
And so I found actual porn where I was like, oh my God, that's gross. I was sitting on that couch.
Well, and you know, there's some Easter eggs for the porn fans who were watching the movie. They've got some.
One of our cast who remained nameless. When he showed up at the house, he was like, "You're a waterfall out back." And we're like, "Yeah, why?" He's like, "I know this house."
Oh boy. So, well, like I said, a little bit of that. So no regrets on what you did. So what are your plans for the film? Do you have something else that you're hoping to do with it as far as, you know, trying to expand its release, trying to get the message out there? What's your plan?
You know, the only thing I could do would be to put online that video that I made cutting together the Isla Vista killer and see
right.
if it goes viral. And that would be a pretty dicey proposition, but
sure.
It really has been educational to me how much that movies require money to market them. And even in this day where you've heard the expression P&A costs,
right.
P no longer exists because there are no more prints.
Right.
So it's just the A, but the A is quite monumental.
The A is huge.
And just when you look at what some of the indie or smaller distributors can do, like Magnet,
right.
IFC, and Draft House, none of whom would take our movie because of the content, the rating.
Right.
You know, they're able somehow to get people to watch these things. And what happened is we were very happy with our distribution partners.
Right.
We did a theatrical release in New York and L.A. so that the movie would have some legitimacy to
right.
it, that people wouldn't be afraid to put it on their VOD platform.
Sure.
And we got on a lot of cable systems, but they were all afraid to promote it. So it's a little bit like, if it's on those cable systems, but the cable systems are afraid to promote it, it's almost as if it wasn't there at all.
Yeah.
As of right now, we're still not up on iTunes, even though iTunes has accepted some NC-17 movies.
Right.
So I'm personally frustrated. I find it hypocritical.
Yeah.
But we'll just soldier on and see if these places change their mind and see who who finds the movie and hopefully there are many worse things than being the maker of a cool cult movie.
Right. Oh yeah, that's for sure. What I guess what I meant when I asked about plans, what about the possibility of doing a re-edit for mass audiences, or would you not be up to that?
We may yet do that because Redbox will not take an NC-17 movie. It's not
right.
clear if they need it to be R or unrated. It is acceptable.
Right.
I would need to talk to the MPAA and find out exactly what we would need to cut or change.
Right.
I was quite concerned that it's impossible.
Right.
Just because so many of the scenes revolve around a porn sex.
Yeah.
And that to the MPAA is sort of automatic NC-17 to them. There's
sure.
something about sex and the pornographic content.
Well, and it's not that graphic.
That drives me nuts because every 12-year-old on his iPhone can watch the most disgusting
absolutely.
Porn in the world.
Yeah, absolutely. The internet has sure changed the way it was in my generation where you had to sneak your dad's magazines, which were so tame compared to anything you get today.
I know. I actually put that in the movie where he says, "Man, you remember how much work it used to be just to get like a skin mask?"
Yeah, and it was tame.
That's right. It was nothing.
You know, it was basically nudity was the taboo then. It wasn't even anything sexual about it.
Yep.
Well, like I said, it's. I guess the surprise to me, and I think I talked about it in my review as well, is that it strikes me that. It's not that explicit of a movie. I have seen far more explicit movies as far as the actual acts. Now, you talk about the themes and such, but I don't find the sex in here to be anything worse than a ton of R-rated horror films that I've seen, and I've seen plenty of them.
Oh, it's no worse than anything you would find on Cinemax.
It's not, so I'm assuming it's the theme.
And that's, in fact, why we blurred out the erect penises, because
right.
that's the one thing you can't show on cable.
Right.
You pay cable. So, yeah, it's frustrating. I had a business plan that would help the movie, which was that I was going to legally change my name to Lucas Coppola.
There you go.
Yeah.
But, well, like I said, I hope that this film does get an audience, because, like I said, I think it's unfair that the film, you know, is labeled the way it is, because it's not you know, it's not as violent, it's not as graphically sexual as it seems like the, you know, the press you're getting would imply, you know, or we wouldn't have covered it. Quite honestly, we don't cover adult films. We don't cover pornography. I get asked all the time, you know, we get people even send us stuff on spec just hoping we'll review it, and it's like, no, we don't cover that. So, you know, I'm hoping that, that our audience understands the fact that we're covering it means that, that we don't find this to be any more offensive than, you know, a ton of stuff we watch on a regular basis here. So, you know, I'm hoping things like that, if you get more people to get that message out, that, you know, if you just get past the theme and watch the film has a lot to say that has nothing to do with any kind of graphic sex.
Well, I appreciate that. You guys have been very supportive, and I'm very appreciative of this opportunity today to talk with you.
No, it was my pleasure.
Yeah, and you know, my loyalty is to the cast and the crew, and
right.
We made exactly the movie that we wanted to make, and we're proud of it, and we hope people will discover it, and if it's a kind of weird, one-out-of-a-kind, confusing movie, then we're happy with that.
So what are your plans? What do you have coming up now?
Oh, well,
right that you now, can talk about.
Like, you know, I have nothing I can talk about.
Okay.
One of the things that happened is that this movie was so inexpensive to make.
Right.
That I could sort of scrape together the money myself to
sure.
do it. And that was great because then we had creative control, but I've right. discovered that a drawback was that I don't know anyone yet.
Right.
So there's no one I can go back to and say, so that one came out well, can you give me $500,000 this time, because
right.
I didn't do that the first time, so I'm sort of back at square one, dialing for dollars.
Any thought of returning to this world?
Not right now, because it would be so nice. I mean, this is my first movie ever,
right?
And it would be nice to have a movie that's maybe PG-13, you know, that I could tell people at a party and not have to take 5 minutes to explain, no, it's not actual porn.
Right.
You know, not something I'm really into. It was just something that was interesting dramatically.
Exactly.
So I think a nice children's film might be a good change of pace.
Well, there you go. Well, I hope that you'll keep in touch. I want to thank you for your time and effort here, and we'll put this out there and let the audience know a little bit more of what's inside Lucky Bastard.
Okay. Thank you guys so much.
No, thank you, Lucas. You take care.
All right.
Bye.